Thanks for your text. Keep them coming through. 0433 98 11 16. Absolute rubbish. Another texter coming through. Matt, skills are much better in the 80s. The skills are garbage now. There were blokes who, you know, the Plattons of the world, the Jarmans of the world, who could hit your lace out with a bullet pass. That can happen at the moment, but I think Dermot hit the nail on the head with the amount of kicks per player as a kid these days. I don't think you walk into, you know, your junior footy as an 18-year-old having 2 million kicks as a kid in the park every time you get a free chance, or in the schoolyard when you got out for lunch. That is one of the things that has changed. Jack Rewald is a better two-sided player as a key forward than Tex Walker. Gary Ablett, not too bad kicking at both feet. Maria, absolutely. Hi, Dwayne, lifelong Hawks supporter. Robbie Flower was a true champion with silky skills. Mick in Kilsyth, one player who played on Robbie Flower, has been good enough to join us to talk about something else. But Mick Turner, Hall of Famer at Geelong, one of the all-time greats, captain of mine for a while, and AFL talent manager at the Geelong Falcons, has been good enough to give me some of his time. Welcome to you, Michael. Great to have you on.
Yeah, thanks, Dwayne. And I took you on some good footy trips too.
You did, actually. That was the beauty of it. Which one was our best? Was it Miami?
Oh, LA. I reckon, yeah. Miami was a good one in 88, and LA was a good one in about 84 with Andrew Pearce and the boys. So, thank you.
Toronto, that wasn't bad either.
Yeah, Toronto was good. The old Foster series with John Elliott. And no mobile phones, Dwayne, so times have changed.
Yeah, what a time it was. Hey, talk me through Robbie Flower. Mick, you played, there was a golden era for wingmen in your day, because I think the value of the wingman has come back a little bit in recent times, but the value of a wingman who could deliver a ball lace out to a forward is something that was underrated, I think, for a couple of decades prior to the one we're in right now.
Yeah, look, I know times have changed and that, but I heard you talking about it before. I remember I was a young boy in Warrnambool. I used to kick the ball continuously up and down in front of our shop. We lived behind a shop, and just kicked up and down the footpath all the time, and pretended I was David Clark and a whole lot of range of people. So, yeah, the execution of skills and the practice of skills. And, you know, there was a high emphasis those days, as you know, on being able to kick both feet. So Robbie could certainly kick both feet, and I know I could. You know, I know coaches now, you know, to get the degree of excellence in the kicking down, they prefer them to kick on their good foot all the time. But when you watch AFL now, you see players, you know, corralled onto their wrong foot and they can't execute the skill properly. But Robbie was a great player. And in the 70s and 80s, in a lot of positions, and you'd love to see it come back. I know people have been talking recently about what was the best era of the 70s, 80s and 90s. But, you know, when you go back to McGrath playing on Carey, and, you know, I obviously played on Robbie Flower a lot, and Peter Knight's played on Paul Vanderhaar. And Dwayne Russell, when he's at full back for Geelong, played on some great full forwards too, like Jason Dunstall. So, it's just that one-on-one contest, I think, that people are craving to see, you know, champions playing on champions. But, you know, back in that era, you know, we did have a lot of really good wingmen. I mean, Robbie Flower was there, and, Doug Hawkins and Ricky Barham was at Collingwood, and, the Ablett and Ead was at Hawthorn, and the list goes on. Merv Nagle, Gary Folds, a whole range of players, and, you really didn't have a let up each week. The hardest ones for me was Schimmelbusch and Greg at North Melbourne. So you get Wayne Schimmelbusch, and he was relentless, and Keith Gregg was about 6'1.5" and extremely strong for a winger to run off the win. So, yeah, there were some great players around, and those one-on-one duels, I think, like when Gary Ablett was playing in area, Dwayne, people went to the footy to watch that sort of thing and watch that one-on-one duel, and generally you played on each other all day unless someone nearly got off the roof. So it was enjoyable and very challenging.
So you don't mind if a kid comes to the Geelong Falcons and he's a superstar on one of his feet, and that's fine. He does the little outside of the boot pass of 30 metres. That's fine. He doesn't need to have the two-sidedness, or do you still encourage it?
Oh, no, we still encourage it. I mean, look, it's when they get to us, at we start recruiting at about 13, and they're in our under-15, under-16s, you know, under-17 squads right through to the NAB League when they get drafted. We want players to be able to kick both feet. So there's a big emphasis these days on skill acquisition, and I think it's gone back a little bit. You know, it's less tactical now, and what the AFL coaches want and the AFL want is the players to be skill based. So, you know, a lot of ground ball, a lot of marking, you know, one touch, being able to kick properly. And look, any player that plays AFL football up until this year, obviously, that can run and carry the ball and bounce the ball and take it down the field and gain yardage or meterage and kick goals is worth over $1 million. So, when you look back in that era, Ricky Barham, Robbie Flower, and hopefully myself included, you'd think you'd be in the million-dollar pay packet range. But that was the era.
It was. The current era of kids have got a few question marks, as with senior football, as with local football. What's going to happen to junior football, do you think? You've just had a year of the NAB League. You might not get any football maybe for the kids until what? November, is that, or August, September, October? What are we looking at the moment, Mick? I know it's an unknown, but are you still looking at having a carnival or some sort of season late?
Yeah, look, I think the plan is certainly there, Dwayne. I mean, look, the AFL, you know, is obviously in a very difficult situation, and, I mean, they're going to be governed by what the government says for a start. So it'll be the federal government and the state government. You know, nothing will happen until they say that something can happen. So, you know, if everyone starts doing the right thing, and I think people are starting to get the message now, the sooner everyone, you know, stays home and does the right thing, you know, the sooner we'll be able to get, you know, all our lives back on track. Now, whether that's the AFL or the economy or, you know, people working again, that's important. And, you know, I think 80% of the people get it, but 20%, you know, you just sometimes can't educate that 20% that will not take any notice. Now, that can be a whole range of people. It can be the wealthy and the indulged, and it can be the people, you know, down the bottom end of the spectrum. So we've just got to get that under control. But look, the AFL, and obviously I work for the AFL, you know, but they'll be going through a whole lot of scenarios. You know, they need to get the season up and going at the AFL. That would be their priority first. Because people have got to understand that, you know, nothing runs without commercial backing, and the AFL's, you know, is a big business. So, you know, they need commercial backing from, you know, not only borrowing from the ANZ Bank, but the NAB, but they've made commitments to the NAB and a whole range of sponsors that, and Channel 7, that certain things are going to happen. And if those, if the game doesn't get up and going, well, there's no commercial money coming in. So I think, you know, I've read a lot about it. I think, you know, people have got to be very flexible, and that includes the players. And I respect what Paddy Dangerfield and others say, but I can't drive the Barham Heads to see my grandkids at the moment, Dwayne. And that's fairly upsetting for me. And I think a lot of people are in the same boat that are trying to do the right thing. And if the AFL, players, you know, want to get 100% pay, and now they're on to 50%, and if the game doesn't start, they're on 30%, they've got to support the AFL in the fact that if the game is a bit different and it's somewhere else, they need to support it, because the AFL, you know, is not the AFL unless they've got some commercial money coming in. And the players, you know, you can't put out your hand in one way and say, yeah, we want the money, but you've got to, you know, you can't take your hand away the other and say, we're not going to support it. So I understand the arguments, but, you know, commercially, you know, we need to get things rolling to, at the right time to get things up and going again.
So can you see a time when footy does start, whether it's August or whenever it is, where some players say, no, I'm not playing, but, you know, the other 95% say, OK, we're in?
Yeah, I think it's a personal decision. I mean, everyone's different. Everyone's got different beliefs. You know, some players are religious, some players are not, some players are flexible. I know they've got young families. It's, you know, it's a really difficult thing, but, you know, we're in a pretty extraordinary stage here. We're not sitting in the trenches in Vietnam or in the Second World War or the First World War. I mean, my grandfather-in-law was on the Kokoda Trail for 4 years. Well, that would have been pretty enjoyable, wouldn't it? And, you know, people like myself and you just missed the draft for the Vietnam War. And, you know, at that time, I probably would have gone, being pretty naive, because I was a sergeant of the cadets, and I was, you know, probably one of the ones that were going to be called up if my number had to come out. So I don't think the Vietnam War would have been all that enjoyable either. And, you know, to ask players to be flexible in a workplace where they get paid extremely high money, I think that flexibility's got to be there. But, you know, in saying that, I'm not saying to any player you have to do this or you have to do that. The AFL will come up with a, you know, a scenario. And as I said, if the players, you know, they want to be paid, the season has to get up and going. And that's the first priority of the AFL. And what happens after that, we'll have to wait and see in the time frame.
So do you see football being different for 18-year-olds when it does? Do you see a draft not happening at all? A year where you raise the draft age?
Look, I think there's a few scenarios out there, Dwayne. And, you know, the AFL are working through it with their talent department. So look, the best scenario for us, you know, in talent around Australia is, you know, and talking in Victoria is to get the NAB League up and going, if they can. And that's what I come back to the point. If people do the right thing and we get things under control, there's more chance of that happening. So, you know, certainly from my perspective, I've got one of the best draft groups I've ever had at the Falcons this year. We've got a fantastic range of players, as have other clubs, you know, not only in Victoria but around Australia. So I would hate to see those boys not be given the opportunity, but you can only do what you can do. So if we got to the end, if we got to say, you know, July or August or September, and we played an 8 to 10 game season, that would be sufficient, because the boys have matured. You know, the people have got to understand that at our level, just like the AFL, you know, we've got a lot of staff and we're very professional. So we do Zoom conferences with the parents. We do Zoom conferences with the players every week. They've all got individual programs that are updated weekly. They're obviously on a holding pattern, or they put it pretty much like the government put into hibernation at the moment, but they're keeping themselves fit. We probably only need a 2 week period, 2 to 3 week period to get them up and going again. If I click my fingers tomorrow, all my staff would be back. And that's 50 staff ready to, you know, get the program up and going again. So if we can get, you know, even a 8 week season, 6, 8 week, 10 week season for the AFL recruiters to see our players, they will be at full strength, because with the school situation at the moment, you're not going to be missing players that go to private schools or, you know, playing football on the week, you know, during the week, like at St Joseph's in Geelong. That season would provide all the best players playing week in, week out, and the recruiters would get a fairly good gauge on who's who's drafted and who's not. Now, if that doesn't happen, it'll probably have to be condensed down into maybe, you know, Vic Country playing Vic Metro in some games, and the top echelon of players will be presented. But, you know, we've just got to work through it and see what comes up.
Mick, got to go, but in 10 words, you should be in the Hall of Fame, surely. Do you think you'll get in? surely you should be in.
The Geelong Hall of Fame or the AFL one?
No, AFL Hall of Fame.
Oh, well, that's for bigger people to work out, Twain. But, look, I was a player at Geelong, as you know, for 15 years, and I've worked in the industry for 25, so 40 years of service, they can judge it. That's it. But, I'll just say, we both played. Were you at Geelong with Brian Peake?
I wasn't. I was past Peaky at his peak.
Yeah, well, there you go. Well, I played with Brian Peake, and he was a great player. But I'll just say that, I'd probably rate myself as good, if not a better player than Brian Peake, and he's in the Hall of Fame. So we'll just see what happens.
Great stuff, Mick. Always good to pick your brain. The great Mick Turner, old captain of mine. Take a break. Your call's next. 1300 736 736.